B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
33-40 will probably be where he'll play.
Right, okay. So he's going to lose weight, or he lost weight.
Well, that's usually where he is
that's
all the
where
time.
He's, at?
Yeah,
okay.
He's usually right around that 340, 330 range, you know.
So him and Dillard need to kind of change those things up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Dillard needs to put, you know,
he needs
to get up. You know, even Lane. Lane plays around, what, 315, 320? But he's like, but he's six. What Lane is 6'7", 6'8". So it looks different, you know. But I think Andre, he needs to get a little heavier, especially in his legs.
Well, percentage wise, you mentioned maybe Vitae at right guard for Brandon Brooks while he's trying to come back from his injury. Percentage wise, how confident are you that Brandon Brooks will start game one?
I'm almost 100% that he's going to be there for game one.
Ooh.
For game one,
wow.
You know, for
that is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty high because he's been putting in a lot of work to get back. You know, do you want to rush him back if everything is going well? Do you want to give him that extra week, kind of like how we did with Carson? Do you give him a couple extra weeks to kind of get himself together? Because you know, without going through any preseason, that means now that you know you're gonna have to get your wind underneath you. I mean, you know, there is no way to simulate, you know, actually being in the game. The strain that goes on between a defensive lineman and an offensive lineman in the game, there's no way that you can mimic that. I mean, you can go at it and practice as hard as you want. At some point, that guy is going to have to pull up because he doesn't want to hit the quarterback. But when you get in the game, there is no pulling up. So, you know, he's going to have to get his legs underneath him and get his wind up.
All right, we'll see how that works out. And, of course, we'll revisit that in a little bit. But I do tell people, you listen to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast on a morning following. Is the sun up yet? Because Gabe Kaplan reported last night.
He was right.
The solar insider, Gabe Kaplan, reported last night that the sun would come up tomorrow, and they were looking forward to that happening, but would not admit that it was an embarrassing loss for the Phillies last night as they lost 16-2 to the Dodgers, a game that featured Dodgers fans chanting "Thank you, Philly" in the stands in the eighth inning of last night's ball game. Nothing but abysmal, nothing but embarrassing, and as of right now, there's going to be no change. There's no change in sight. There's no reports of anyone's head rolling or anything like that. But time and time again, it just looks like Gabe Kapler, the manager of this ball club, the leader in the clubhouse, is nothing short of a pushover to these players. Time and time again, you see guys not hustle like Michael Franco last night, and there's no accountability. Gene Segura, it's happened a couple of times this season. No accountability starts the next day. Cesar Hernandez, almost no accountability. Had to sit the other day, Scott Kingery got. That was the first time we actually saw, oh, maybe there's some accountability in this game. And then just getting outmanaged last night by Dave Roberts, whether it be the butt by Barnes, that just totally threw that defensive alignment off and called out and highlighted the mistake made by Gabe Kapler's alignment there. And then also the hustle, the alignment, and then just watching guys not bust it down the line was nothing short of embarrassing for this team. And the double steal in that fourth inning as well caught the Phillies off guard. When they're supposed to have the personnel that can defend against it, at least that's what Kapler told us after the game. Absolutely atrocious with the Phillies last night.
Caught them off guard, and so where's the mental stability here? Because you also stayed on the field after a third out strikeout.
Yeah.
Stood there and kind of,
forgot how many outs.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Are we done?
Did you see Dave Roberts in the dugout? They caught him on camera last night. He looks to his bench coach and goes, how many outs are there? And then all of a sudden, everyone realized what happened. We actually have the audio. We'll let people hear that in a little bit.
Who was that?
Dave Roberts. What?
Well, I mean, come on, man. This is ridiculous.
No, Dave Roberts, the manager of the other team, was looking at the field, seeing all the players stay on the field.
What's wrong with them?
And go, wait, that was strike three, right? How many outs are there?
Did you notice late in the game when Roman Quinn got a strikeout? I think it was Dave Roberts. He had his hand over top of the dugout. Roman Quinn got a strikeout, and you see him, he's making a motion with his hand, like throwing a ball. Mm-hmm. And then there's some confusion or whatever, and they throw the ball in, they throw it to the Phillies dugout. He was the one alerting them. Is that Roman Quinn's first ever strikeout? You might want to get him the ball.
And that was only because the batter didn't swing.
Right, the guy just stood up there, one, two, three.
Like, all right, man,
but
the
opposing manager was he was trying to throw them a little bone last night.
I'm glad you brought that up because that pissed me off.
A
any memorabilia from that game?
Yeah, if I'm Roman Quinn,
set on fire.
Yeah, I take that ball and I Patrick Mahomes it out of the stadium. I don't want that ball.
Two outside of baseball references from last night's game. One was Chris Pronger throwing away the puck after game one.
That's
against
the right attitude.
That's where that puck belonged. Why'd you throw it away? Why'd you put it in the trash? Because that's where it belonged.
Yeah.
So Roman Quinn taking the ball last night, I'm like, you can blow that the hell up.
Yeah.
And then the other one was when Dave Roberts made the comment on the bench. Wait, how many outs are there? With the Phillies not running off the field? It reminded me of, remember the NFL Films? And I'm sorry to bring this up, Trey. NFL Films got Bill Belichick on the sideline during the last 5 minutes of the Super Bowl.
What the hell is he doing?
Saying, is the score right?
Oh, no.
We're winning, right?
Oh, no.
Wait, Trey. I know.
I never knew anything.
Oh,
I say we let it go.
Because it never happened, Trey. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Nope. I'm just making stuff up.
Dump.
Yeah. Well, you got to bring that up. That's Trey on the Phillies. I mean, what do you
Trey
know?
Trey just mentally dumped that from his brain.
Reed's stupidity actually hurt Belichick's brain in that game.
Oh, yes.
No.
Like, he just didn't get it. That's not good.
I think we have to find the audio for Trey.
Yeah.
Just so he knows
I'll get on that
now. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah, I don't need it right now. I'm good.
He was like, wait, is this really this is what he's doing?
I wouldn't mess with you. I might read you stories about penguins in Florida, but I wouldn't just mess with you about that Super Bowl.
I believe you. I just don't need to hear it. Right.
Maybe Graf has something for us here when it comes to a documentary to distract us. What's up, brother?
Yo, how do you wake up and just say to yourself, all right, the sun's shining, so I'm just going to go get punched in the face again over and over and over repeatedly? Because you have Vinny Velasquez pitching tonight. Gabe Kapler, the sun may always shine, but so long as Vinny Velasquez pitches, you are probably going to get your ass beat. Ugh. So just like, I can't continue to talk about the squad. It's sad, man. That's what it is. For real, it's sad. Like, you have some excellent talent on that team, and they have no desire to play baseball for that dude in the dugout and probably for that GM and that president. Like, I don't know how you continue to watch a sport and watch something that not even the players are interested in.
Graf, that's another thing, though. And I called this out yesterday when I talked about Andy McPhail addressing the media on Friday before they played. The president of the team came out and said he wouldn't even dignify the question about his manager coming back with a response, basically. And then his team went out and laid an egg. 4-0. They get shut out.
Yep.
Shut out. And then they lose the first two games of that series. They're lucky to get the walk-off win that they got on Sunday. But especially against the crowds that were down there, in front of the crowds that were down there over the weekend with the fireworks and all that, they get embarrassed the way they did against the Nationals. And then they're not even able to bounce back against the Dodgers in a game where they showed up at 4:30 in the morning to Philadelphia after a 6-hour-plus game in Boston, and they still out-hustle you on the diamond. There's no accountability. You need to show these players, if you're going to try to salvage anything from this season, you need to show these players that there's going to be accountability, and you can't do that with this manager. There's no accountability under Gabe Kapler.
Mark, that was excellent. But I guess my thing with that whole situation is, how does it start? Because we're 90 games into the season and he hasn't held a single person accountable yet. And he's had people not hustle on him. He's had people make dumb decisions and dumb plays. Like, that's the one thing. I get the fact that if you don't want to sit someone for not hustling down the first baseline, but when you make constant mistakes in the outfield or constant mistakes in the infield, like, I feel like you probably should give the guy a break. And the only person he tends to hold any accountability to seems to be Mike Elfranco. So it wouldn't surprise me if Franco is not in the lineup tonight. But I mean, I don't want the majority of this phone call to be about Philly. So, Trey, I have a couple Eagles questions for you, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, so Jordan Mailata, they said they wanted him to play like left tackle, but now you got this kid Dillard and everything else. Does it look like Mailata's going to play guard? And his guard... What is the difference in difficulty between guard and tackle? Okay. And guys, have a great one. All right.
All right, cool, man. I think the difference. First of all, I think he's a little too tall to play guard.
Because I mean, when you look at Jordan Mailata, he's 6'8", man, and that's extremely tall. When you're looking at defensive linemen that are probably like around 6 feet, 6'1". When you look at Fletcher Cox, what he's what? Around 6'2", 6'3". So that's gonna be a guy that's gonna get underneath you. Now he's heavy enough, but do you have the aggression to play guard? I feel like guard is a much more aggressive position, just because the action is right there in front of you. I mean, it's you can't be late at guard. You know, you have to be, everything is shorter steps, you know, you have to shoot your hands a lot quicker. You know, and for someone that's really starting to learn the game, putting him at guard, I don't know if he can be able to deal with if you put a quick defensive tackle in front of him. Now, if he has a defensive tackle in front of him that's just going to bull rush him,
right?
All right, cool, put him at guard. But if you on this level here, with the way these defensive linemen are moving, he will get destroyed just because, you know, if he's late with his hands, if he doesn't bring it, man, they're going to get underneath him because he's 6'8". You know, they're going to, you know, at tackle, you have a little bit more time. It's a little bit more of a patient game. You have a little time to get there. And it gives you time to, all right, let me get my hands ready. All right, shoot my hands now. Guard, you don't have that time. And also, when it comes to run blocking, you're the tip of the spear. You know, you're the one that has to create the movement. And being 6'8", if you stand up at all, those D linemen are going to get underneath you, and then you get pushed back, and then there you go. That's it. Man. Yeah,
he's like a bowling pin trying to block a bowling ball.
Yeah. So you know, I like for guards to be a little bit shorter, like around that 6'5" range. Even Todd Harriman was a pretty tall guard.
Yeah,
but he did a good job of keeping his pad levels low. But you know, most of the time you want your guards to be right around that 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", and then your tackles. You want your tackles to be a lot like the Jordan Mailatas, the Delane Johnson, myself. JP is would be an amazing guard at his height, but at this age, I don't know if you really want to still put him down in there like that.
Nah, keep that career going a little bit longer. What the heck? Get two more years out of that body.
That's a lot more physical in there too now.
Okay. Yeah. All right, knock him around a little bit. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on any style window. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Sam Wilson, what do you have for us?
This morning we asked, should the Phillies feel embarrassed after last night's game? We have just under 1,700 votes so far. 97% say yes.
It's all going according to plan.
This just proves it's impossible. Possible to have 100% poll. That's all I hear.
That's, you know what? Yes.
I hear 3% of people going, they want 100% poll. I'm not going to give it to them.
I think the 3% missed the press, like the post game stuff, because we have had a couple people like, of course, why wouldn't they be embarrassed?
That's a great point.
They missed
this is the dumbest question ever.
Yeah. That's why I love Twitter polls. They're phenomenal.
You don't get so triggered.
Because like, I get to laugh at people being pissed off because they're missing the point. Anyway, 610-632-0975, 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. And by the way, you know what could actually brighten us up a little bit here?
What's that?
Mm-mm.
A burger.
A burger?
A burger. Aren't burgers just instant
burgers
happiness?
Are a pick-me-up.
Especially like when it's like, well, you know, I'm trying to eat healthy, but it's like, but it's... I don't want to be rude. You know what I mean? It's like, it's right there
this
for
This is
you.
Work, Mark.
Yeah, this is work, okay?
Well, you can get it with no bun.
No. No, I'm not, I don't do that.
I mean,
I will never eat a burger without
a
bun.
Burger over a salad.
That's just a patty. I don't want just a patty.
You could get all the toppings and all that and put that with a salad.
We got Burger Brawl coming in.
Okay.
Because Burger Brawl is back. Philly Burger Brawl is back. It's got a new date, Sunday, September 15th. New location, Philadelphia Navy Yard. You can enjoy unlimited bites of burgers from the top competing restaurants in the city of brotherly love. Proceeds benefit the Philadelphia School District. The event raises money to outfit underserved schools with the latest technology. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to PhillyBurgerBrawl.com. We're going to have them stop by a little bit later today. Looking forward to that. That'll brighten our spirits and comfort us. We need some comfort food after a bad Phillies loss. Continue the Phillies conversation. Coming up in a little bit, including what Gabe Kapler had to say about eternal optimism, as you would expect after a 60-2 loss. We got Anthony, we got Andy and Deffer. We got open lines after that, 610-632-0975. For FanFest tickets, in honor of Will Ferrell's 52nd birthday today, if you could sum up this Phillies season to this point in a Will Ferrell movie quote, doesn't just have to be Will Ferrell, any one of the movies, any character, what movie quote do you think would most sum up the Phillies to this point? Point. Time of the Fanatic is 7:13.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I mentioned I needed some comfort food after that Phillies loss last night. 16-2. Well, is there a better comfort food, Bob Cooney, than a fine burger?
I say no.
Now, this is a unique burger as part of Philly Burger Brawl, September 15th at the Philadelphia Navy Yard. We have Rob Wasserman. Rob, I've known you for years, my friend.
What's going on, man?
There's no better promoter of a burger than you. You know that? There's no better craftier promoter than you when it comes to a fine burger. And what do I have here? What am I dealing with?
Look what you have in front of you today. Well, thanks first of all having us.
Oh, of course.
We have from Lucky's Last Chance, who was one of the main winners last year, Tim, who has been an incredible, I think, how many times have you guys won, actually?
Last year was the third time we won.
My goodness.
The peanut butter and jelly burger.
So what do I have, Tim? From Lucky's Last Chance in Manayunk?
In Manayunk, and we have another location in Queen Village.
Queen Village. Okay, so what am I holding here? This is a beautiful burger. What is this?
You have the peanut butter bacon burger, so it's two quarter-pound patties, American cheese, bacon, of course, peanut butter, and then we serve it with a side of jelly. Get ready. It's an experience.
I feel like I just need to yell, America, before I, like, take a bite out of this. Peanut butter and bacon.
Peanut butter and bacon. American cheese on a burger. Yeah, can't go wrong.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
Pick it up, dip it right in that jelly, yeah. And then
dip it in the jelly, okay.
Peanut butter and jelly with a bacon burger.
Have you ever had peanut butter and jelly on a burger?
I've never had that before.
It's spectacular. It's spectacular.
Have you ever done this?
I was skeptical. God,
this is a first.
And but it blew me away.
But I am a big fan of peanut butter and jelly. I eat it all the time.
Okay. Oh my goodness, Trey. That is Trey's one bite. In.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, here we go. Dip in the jelly first? Is that okay? All right, here we go.
What Phillies game? Silence while Mark eats.
This burger's presenting beautifully.
Yeah. Is the peanut butter sticking to the top of your mouth?
Yeah, this isn't good for radio. it's a performance-hindering drug, peanut butter. That's what it is for radio people. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Listen, Lucky's Last Chance has been around for a while now. When they came in, we started this about 8 years ago now, if you can imagine. Mm-hmm. This will be going on to our 9th year, and they were cool enough to come in. I think it was the first year or second year.
That's the first one, yeah.
Yeah, and show up. They came with a peanut butter and jelly and a burger and hit it out of the ballpark. And everybody, I mean, listen, everybody loves burgers. Everybody comes to, you know, enjoy the burgers at the Burger Brawl. Mm-hmm. But honestly, when you can create something really unique have something like this that, like, hits it out of the ballpark, it's ridiculous.
This is perfect for me because I'm a peanut butter and jelly fan. Like, I eat peanut butter and jelly almost every day. So this is perfect.
But what kind of demented mind comes up to put jelly and peanut butter on a burger?
With bacon. It worked.
America! Now, Tim, I'm going to ask everybody that's getting involved in Burger Brawl this question, okay? Sunday, September 15th for Burger Brawl, new location, Philadelphia Navy Yard. Let me ask you this. Do you remember your first one?
My first Burger Brawl?
Your first burger.
My first burger.
The moment you bit into that beautiful thing, do you remember your first one?
It's so hard. There's been so many over the years. It's just hard to remember the first one.
The moment you fell in love with a burger.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I had to be like 8 years old, you know. Just somebody handed me a cheeseburger at a barbecue, and I was like, I'll eat this for the rest of my life.
Homemade. I'm in. For the rest of my life, I'm in.
Yeah, but think about it. When we were growing up, was there more than like a McDonald's? Was there more than anything of that nature? Like when you were going out, you weren't really ever thinking about it.
No, it was just the American backyard barbecue.
It was the barbecue burger. That was it. And that's what people grew up on, especially on East Coast, because they were a little bit thicker. They're not, you know, they were a little bit more of the pub style.
Damn right.
You know, and that was what was so delicious. And I think when you go anywhere else in the country, when you go West Coast and so forth, and they do the thin patties and so forth, it's okay. Mm. But coming back geese, man. When you go to New York or Philadelphia or any of these areas, they can do it up. And I think a lot of it has to do with the bun. I mean, like, if you don't have the right bun to be able to hold that juice in, forget about it.
Oh, this
it
bun
blows it apart.
This bun is absolutely perfect from Lucky's Last Chance, Manioc, and also Queen Village, you said?
Yes, sir.
This is nothing short of spectacular. It's toasted a little bit, is it not?
Yeah, we toast the bun. They're fresh made for us every day. Licio's does the rolls for us, so we get them delivered daily.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for coming in. We got the Burger Brawl Sunday, September 15th at the Philadelphia Navy Yard as Philly Burger Brawl is back, and it is benefiting a phenomenal cause. Proceeds benefiting the Philadelphia School District. So thanks so much. Rob Wasserman, I know we're going to be seeing you again, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely.
My man. I know whenever I see you, there's good eats.
Listen, you guys have always been amazing. You know that. And certainly to be showing up now and being there, and hopefully you'll get there. You know, we're expecting 5,000 people this year. And up to August 2nd, because of you guys, because of you all, we are spending, it's a special promo. It's $30 rather than the $45 for a regular ticket. So get on there to phillyburgerbrawl.com, grab your tickets. It's all the money goes to the school district of Philadelphia because they're in desperate need of technology and computers for the schools. So you can eat as many burgers you want. You better, honestly, have you ever had the burger sweats? You know
of
what a
course.
Burger sweats are?
I long for the no, burger sweats.
Never you never had a burger sweat.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Listen, that's embarrassing, honestly. At your size, you better learn how to get a burger
I'm
sweat.
I'm big boned, man.
Well, this is exactly what we needed after an awful Phillies loss last night, unfortunately. So, Rob Wasserman, thank you so much. Tim, Lucky's Last Chance, where can we find more information about your spot?
Lucky'sLastChance.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Lucky's Last Chance.
Awesome. My man, we'll be seeing you at Burger Brawl. We're looking forward to it. And Rob, I know we'll be seeing you soon.
And by the way, where can I try out for the Phillies? Because I hear they're needing some.
You don't even have to try out.
Maybe uniform fits.
You're good to go.
Maybe cook for the Phillies. They need something to lift their spirits just a little bit, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rob.
Like I said, I'll be seeing you a lot. Yep. And Tim, we'll see you down the line,
great,
my man.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Philly Burger Brawl, once again, September 15th. That's a Sunday. New location at the Philadelphia Navy Yard. Trey, you finishing that burger?
Damn right you are. But I'm sorry, what, were we supposed to do something else with
it? Oh, no. You're doing the right thing. We're getting some weird feedback over there. But Philly Burger Brawl, September 15th. Enjoy unlimited bites of burgers from the top competing restaurants in the city. Not too shabby. Right now we got, let's see here. We got Dennis in Springfield. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dennis?
I'm just calling. I mean, after hearing about the burgers, I hate to use the term garbage, but that garbage bucket of a team last night. You know what? It's one thing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to get blown out. 16-2 is a bit excessive, but when you see the camera pan the dugout, and you see suitcases in the corner of the dugout, like they've packed it in for the year. I am so sick and tired of hearing that there's nobody in the minors that's ready for the majors. There's people in the majors that aren't ready for the majors.
That's an excellent point.
There's only the two moves I would make, and I don't know if you could get anything for them or not, and I really don't care. Because anything you get at this point of the year is better than what you got. I would look to move Frankel. I would look to move Hernandez. Put Kinergy at second. Put Halsey in center, bring up the kid Brome from third, stick him in there, let him play. All over Major League Baseball for the last couple of years, all I've seen is 19 and 20 and 21-year-old kids tearing it up. This team, they're done. They are absolutely done.
They're cooked.
And that bill of goods we were sold at the beginning of the year, once they signed Harper, that this lineup, oh my goodness, it's awesome. It's a disgrace.
It's nothing close to the lineup that we thought it would be. We thought that this team, if they were going to win, they were going to win like the 2008 Phillies. Maybe not the World Series or anything like that, but at least make the playoffs. If they were going to do that, it was going to be because their lineup was going to be burying teams as their pitching staff struggled. I mentioned it earlier. Ryan Howard hit .320 with runners in scoring position the year they won the World Series in 2008. Rhys Hoskins is your four-hole hitter, is hitting .255. 91st in baseball with runners in scoring position. That's your four-hole hitter.
And that's a guy that skates scot-free.
I mean, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say a bad thing about him.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. And look, here's the thing. As a young man in the game, inexperienced in Major League Baseball, he's been great as far as a leader and all that. But now it's time to start putting up some runs. When you've made the investment that ownership has made, it's time to start putting up some runs. And they're falling way short of that. Jamie said earlier today, you got to be able to flip them in the order. If Rhys Hoskins is going to be able to, not going to be able to drive in runs, you have to let Bryce Harper try to do it.
The numbers are really mind-boggling. He's batting like, you know, something like 350 or something with players on base. With players not on base, he's hitting like 187. It just doesn't make any sense.
So you have to flip him. Now, I'm still not going down to the minors just yet for Alec Bohm and say, hey, get up here. I'm not going to say, hey, my team sucks right now at the major league level. Let me wait for the younger guys to cure the problems of the big leagues, because that's not happening.
I'm packing it in. I got to see what we have.
September.
This is about next year.
I'm somewhere in between.
I'm September. The season is done. They are cooked. They don't give a rat's ass anymore. It's time to move on.
They hate happiness and puppies.
Well, this is where you find out if you have any gladiators on your squad, and then this is where you start developing your roster for next year. If these guys continue to just fold up and just quit on you, then those are the ones.
Michael Franco showed me everything I needed to know about him last night, because before he didn't hustle out of the box, which was an embarrassment, he worked a 10-pitch at-bat, which is a good thing. And then with a bases-loaded two-out situation, when your team is desperate for runs, you do that? Mm-hmm. You showed me everything I need to know about you. I was already done with you. Now I want to fire you into the sun with a rocket.
The most damning. You were winning 1-0 at the time.
Yeah. And it changed the entire game.
The most damning thing you just said, Mark, out of all everything you said, they don't give a rat's ass anymore.
They don't.
Well, then change has to be made right now. And I know it has to be made. You can't go through this, right? You can't do that. You can't have your players coming in and either not wanting to play for the manager, not wanting to play for themselves, the organization, whatever it is. Change needs to be made.
All right, Gabe Kapler, don't worry. Don't worry. Because when Gabe addressed the media last night, Bob, he made us all feel better. You know why? He had a little ray of sunshine in his back pocket. Did you know that? You know what happened this morning, Trey? I didn't look outside yet.
I have.
It's dark. It's a dark studio because we got the windows blocked down and all that stuff. But did we know? Can we confirm? Sam, I want you to look out a window that's not blocked, and I just want to see if what Gabe said would happen actually happened. Here's Gabe Kapler after the game last night.
I think when you're losing by a significant margin, you just want to turn the page and get to the next day. So that's where we are right now, is looking forward to the sun coming up tomorrow, getting back to work.
Did the sun come up today?
Yeah!
Has anybody?
I just checked.
Did you?
Yeah.
No, did it come up?
Oh, Katrina
in the
confirm,
waves. Can we confirm reports?
Katrina
can
in the
confirm,
waves. You like
can
that?
We confirm reports?
Yes.
Sam Wilson.
Did come up.
Sam Wilson.
It is up. It's a little
the
hazy
sun is
out,
up.
But it's up.
It's hazy?
It's up.
A
Trey.
Little tiny hazy. It might be our windows. Up. Might be our windows.
So Gabe's good? Back to work? Back to the grind?
Hey, so,
Jamie, crank this real quick, please. Just crank this. There we go. Oh, Gabe. Oh, Gabe. Come on, everybody. Trey, you're our music director.
Hey,
you feeling it right now? You're our music director.
I do like this song.
You gotta love it, baby.
Yeah.
You just polished off a wonderful burger.
Yes, I did.
Good morning.
Beautifully done. I enjoyed every bite of it. It was awesome.
You ever see Jack Black dance to this in High Fidelity?
I have.
Oh, it's just a beautiful thing.
He's been asking, taking names. The guys are dripping with sweat. I think he just physically is presenting beautifully right now.
Not
he
so
some
much.
Very valiant effort. What do you guys have? What would you like to talk about?
Oh, there we go. Everyone feeling good.
I think it's incredible.
Everybody feel good about it. Ken wants to get us going on this movie quote thing with Will Ferrell's birthday being today. But Ken, first go ahead and give me your Phillies point, my friend.
All right, so I don't want to just keep on bashing like everybody else is, but I kind of have to here because they forced my hand. But Gabe isn't the only one to blame here. Klentak needs to be blamed as well.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to sell us this bill of goods of all these young guys and these pitchers being what they were going to be able to do and not go out and get somebody like Kimbrel, and then let our division leader now, put in the Atlanta Braves, get him, and then not go out and maybe make a trade earlier on, like even though we haven't made any trades yet at all. It's just mind-blowing to me. In the bullpen, Tommy Hunter, what good is that guy even on the team for? I don't understand.
Well, he's not. He's on the IL now.
Well, no, again, of course. Right? But, I mean,
for the fourth straight year.
Yeah. It's terrible. No. Look, Ken, you have a right to be upset, man. Like, look, I'm not a fire the coach, fire the manager type guy. I blame players before anybody else. And ultimately, I agree with Andy McPhail that, yeah, the players got to perform. But these players just are not doing that. And when you have a player like Bryce Harper laugh at his manager like he did, like, what, 3-4 weeks ago? About a pitching machine, about a curveball machine? It's time to move on. When you see guys not being held accountable, it's time to move on. When you see guys forgetting how many outs are in an inning, it's time to move on. And when you see a manager like Dave Roberts last night just pants Gabe Kapler twice in the same inning with the bunt by Barnes and also the double steal, it's time to move on. There's no turning around with this manager. And Klentak, and Kapler's not firing Klentak. That's not how that works.
No.
That's unfortunate.
Which leads me,
go ahead.
This leads me to my movie quote, though. I mean, with this Heat and Will Ferrell with Anchorman, and when he goes, it's so hot out here, and milk was a bad choice. Well, Gabe was a bad choice.
There we go. See, that's what we're talking about, Ken. You've just won FanFest tickets. Congratulations, man. I appreciate it.
But you know what? You go back to that Kapler with Bryce in the pitching machine. And that's where I feel like, yeah, there was a problem with that one, because it wasn't just Gabe. I think it was more of Bryce, where you're supposed to be the leader of the team. Every time I look at this team, there's no leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your leader on the team?
It was Reese, but I don't know if like, remember Reese last year with Odubel Herrera?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think it was the slide in Atlanta where Herrera didn't slide.
Yeah.
And he stayed in the outfield because it was the last out of the inning. And Hoskins, as he went out to first base, he ran past his own base and ran up to Odubel and basically gave him a talking to. Like, in the middle of the field. It wasn't very, it wasn't like calling a player out. He wasn't like flailing his hands in the air or anything like that. But he basically pulled him aside and was like, dude, if we're going to have any chance of winning, we need you to be more heads up.
Yeah.
And that's, Reese Hoskins, who had been in the major leagues, not even a year and a half at that point, is already calling out another player. That's a leader.
Yeah.
This year, I don't know if he feels uncomfortable in doing it with Bryce Harper there or what the deal is, but I haven't seen that same Reese Hoskins.
But when we go back to that, I always just feel like, you know what, that was a chance for Bryce Harper to say, you know what, whatever the coach says, that's what we're going to try. Because it's not like I'm tearing the skin off the ball myself. So, you know what? Let's go get that. Whatever needs to be happening, when it needs to happen. But he's not. I don't think you have any leadership on this team. You want the manager to step up and hold everybody accountable. But where are the players that's holding each other accountable?
Yeah, saying what you want to say is easy. Saying what should be said is hard. And that's what leaders do on professional teams. Take a second to say, a curveball machine, seriously? Take a second to think, all right, if Gabe really thinks that's going to help us, you know, that's something I didn't think about, but all right, let's do it.
Whatever it takes.
That shows me a lack of leadership from you don't want to come down on the players, but also, too, your players need to step up for the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not going to hold each other accountable, then what do you have?
Yeah.
They're not willing to step up for the manager then, especially after a day where the president of the team comes out and says, this guy's sticking around. Not even to dignify questions with a response about him being let go.
Because he's looking at the team, too.
Yeah, well, of course. Look. When has it ever mattered if a guy didn't deserve to get fired? When has it ever mattered? It's not all his fault. Yeah? Like, what's your point? Like, that doesn't matter anymore. Especially when it looks like a team that just looks at their manager or their skipper, in this case, as if he is just a pushover. And that's what it's come down to.
Who are the guys that's holding each other accountable?
Doesn't seem like anybody.
You don't have anybody.
And you wonder if Reese looked at Harper and said, you make 330. Why don't you take this off my shoulders?
He's not embarrassed, though, Bob.
Yeah.
Bryce isn't embarrassed.
He's like, you know what? It happens.
Zach Eflin's not embarrassed.
What? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hey, this is the 9th time that you gave up double digits. Double digits, 9 times.
No accountability. 610-632-0975. I'll tell you, the 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest Mobile Platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. And again, thanks so much, Rob Wasserman and Tim, of course, from Lucky's Last Chance. We have the Burger Brawl going on September 15th. I'm going to finish this burger at this break.
Wait. We got another burger coming right in.
What?
So, yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
So we got another one.
Hold on.
All right, I'll keep going.
We'll preview that one coming up. And Andy in Deptford, Trey, wants to spin it back to the Eagles training camp. We'll get to that in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Hey! All right, we have another wonderful burger. This thing looks... if I was to describe this burger from Culture on the Circle, as in Home Circle in Northeast Philadelphia, this burger, to me, looks succulent.
Succulent.
Succulent. But we had Andy and Deffer wanted to talk to him about training camp.
He left.
You have... What's funny is you have no itch this time of year for any football.
Training camp sucks.
Like, you want to talk football. Yeah, you're excited to do that.
I'm not, you know, to get fired up about training camp. I did 12 years of 13 training camps. It's not that, you know.
Versus training camp?
Woo! Training camp! I hate training camp.
Training
dude.
Camp versus...
It sucks.
Right before kickoff week one. What's
training
that?
Camp sucks.
So, right before week
it
one...
It bad.
Week one... You a little giddy though?
Yeah, week one, I'm fired up. I love when you get the preseason. You know, I love that part of it. But training camp, like, oh yeah, we get ready to go to training camp.
That's out the door for you.
Yeah, I'm not. You know.
And you're actually you don't mind if Vinatieri has to play a little right guard for you?
Nah, I mean if he has to go in there and play a little right guard, hey, have at it. I mean the more he can do, the better he'll be. I think. You know, they're going to make sure that they protect, because, I mean, now that means that you're going to be the starting right guard until Brandon Brooks gets back. So that means that, you know, they're going to protect Carson. They're going to make sure they call some plays. Hey, let's get rid of the ball a little quicker. Make sure that he's on the same page with Lane. That means now during preseason, you don't get as many stunts in games or you don't get a lot of blitzes. But, you know, he's going to have to be on point.
All right. Now, we have Elton Brand coming on with us at 9 o'clock. Elton Brand is going to help us break down all the, obviously, the extension of Ben Simmons. It became official. We had been talking about it for quite some time. And Elton Brand is going to break that down for us, as well as maybe some other free agent targets and how confident this team is that Ben will start that mid-range game, part of his game, next season. You got something, Trey?
Yeah, just real quick again, because everybody's off. Training camp! This is words from my man, Chris Long. Realizing you won't have to go to training camp is like a warm blanket out of the dryer. It's like sinking into a giant hammock, like the best Friday's first beer you've ever had. Like rolling around in the grass with 15 puppies. It's like when they cancel school on the forecast the night before. Chris Long.
Can we find 15 puppies? Yes.
On not having to go to training camp. And that's how I feel.
I use this phrase a lot, but poetry.
Yes,
that was
beautiful. Beautiful, poetry. Well written, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Dan in Abington was talking about that extension for Ben Simmons. What's up, Dan?
Yeah, hi. How you doing, guys?
Good. All right.
I need you to explain, help me on why now this extension is happening. Like, I don't quite understand what has he shown at this point to deserve a maximum contract extension?
Because he's a 22-year-old rookie point guard all-star. That's what they see, and they see this as only being the floor for him and not being anywhere close to his ceiling.
And that may be true, and I hope it's true.
Right.
But why now? Why not just
because
wait to see if he comes back with a little bit of game this year?
A little bit of game? He doesn't have game?
I mean, a little bit of mid-range game. Like he's going to always be like a good player.
Right, Dan. I'll answer.
Be a max player.
Well, no. I think he will be. Like I think Ben Simmons is going to be one of the best players we've ever seen in a Sixers uniform.
If he shoots.
Right, but you're right. But I'm saying he will shoot. I have confidence that he will.
And on top of it,
I hope you're right,
Dan. After this is the fourth year of his rookie contract, so. It's kind of now or never.
So to answer your initial question, Dan, why now? The main reason is because you do have faith in him. He already has shown that he can at least be an all-star as a 22-year-old point guard for you. He's taken you to the playoffs twice. He has been a guy that leads you as a point guard to 50 wins in back-to-back seasons, something the franchise hasn't done since the 80s. And
so
you don't want to create any bad blood because guess what? Some other team is going to want him.
Yes, that is accurate.
Okay.
So it's basically Carson Wentz logic is what we're talking about here.
You're banking on potential. Yeah.
Yeah, but
right, you're banking. Okay.
Well, with Carson, we've at least seen Carson be an MVP candidate. We haven't seen that from Ben Simmons.
Right. No, that's true. I guess for a movie quote, for Philly season, you say, you could do one of two from Alien, the movie Alien.
It has to be a Will Ferrell movie.
Oh, it had to be a Will Ferrell movie?
Will Ferrell movie in honor of his birthday.
That escalated quickly.
Dan, we'll put you on hold. You're going to win yourself some FanFest tickets at least, and maybe we'll send you to Burger Brawl, depending how we're feeling at the end of the day today. Because guess what? We have a succulent. How's that word, Bob Cooney?
It's about time to get to this. Well, I've been waiting to bite this thing forever.
You have been itching, like scratching to get to this burger.
I don't even
want to
talk sports for a minute. Let's go.
Culture. Yeah,
I already ate mine.
I told you. Bob, I was like, don't let me hold you up. I mean, Trey's already. This is amazing. So, all right, this is Culture on the Circle. It's a home circle, to be more appropriate, more accurate here in Northeast Philadelphia. And we have Chris Service in here from Culture on the Circle, as well as Rob Wasserman, per usual, with Burger Brawl. So I'm looking at this burger, Chris. This thing looks incredible. What goes into this? What do we have?
All right, so we call it the Beast because we use wild boar in it.
Wild boar burger.
Yeah, we use wild boar. We blend it with some beef. We put some smoked Gouda cheese on there, some bacon, sriracha fried onions, and tomato jam.
Sriracha fried onions.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Mark, this is considered natural Viagra.
All right.
This is where you want to go.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. Okay, now Trey is like done.
Yeah.
Bob, wow, Bob. Good lord, man. All right, here we go. Here goes nothing.
What's that? What's going on top there? That little sauce? What's that?
Tomato jam.
A little tomato jam.
That's good.
Which is quite tasty. I'm enjoying the tomato jam. Very good.
So it blows my mind. Chris has won 3 times a Judge's Award once and People's Choice Award twice in the 9 years that we've done Burger Brawl. Can you imagine the expertise it takes to pull it off when you have over 60 restaurants duking it out for that best burger?
Yeah. This is spectacular.
Thank you.
It really is awesome. And you know what I like about it, too? Look how well it stays together. Oh, my God.
That ain't falling apart.
What kind of bun are you using?
It's a brioche bun.
What's a brioche bun?
It's, a lot of egg and butter going on in there.
Is that a sweeter bun, a little bit more of a sweeter
bun?
Some
richness, some sweetness. It plays off everything else we got going on there. It's all about building it up right so it don't fall apart.
How many ounces is that? That looks nice and thick.
It's 8.
8 ounces. Mm-hmm. That's great.
This is absolutely, it's nothing short of just incredible.
A little wild boar.
Is that the first time you've ever eaten wild boar?
Yeah.
Is that ridiculous or what?
Yeah, it's good.
It's amazing.
It's really good.
Now, Chris, who's this guy behind you? Is he your muscle? What's the deal? Is this guy filming? He's just dressed in black. He's a little intimidating, not for nothing over here. But what's his deal?
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.